regardless of the outcome. Boost up positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators on a home Mowgli fields. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh rugs. Call me private label, I be leaving.
Welcome to episode 74 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. We're a little bit exhausted. It's been a long day, but
well, I'm not exhausted.
Yeah, I guess not yet. Yeah, you're a lot younger than me, son. All right, y'all. This episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from Two Old Crows Homestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also brought to you by EMP Shield, $50 off. They got that new micro out there, that micro, the EMP micro. You want to think about that. Also, the biggest thing, the biggest threat for your house is definitely going to be lightning. This thing protects it. If you have any problems, this is why I reached out to EMP Shield, y'all. Not so much for the EMP protection as much as it is the lightning protection. Because if anything blows up downstream, guess what? They cover it. Up to, I want to say, 25 or 30,000. Either way, you never even have to go to your own insurance company, or you can hit them on top of it. I mean, but the chances are it's going to blow that thing right up off the wall.
You make a profit on that tragedy.
I can't believe I never thought of that before. I'm thinking, okay, that's a little bit cold-blooded. But yeah, anyway, $50 off with any of your purchase. Use that promo code PERMA. Don't forget that. Also, we got that new sponsor out there, and you want to check them out. Once again, I went to them. These people, their food is great when it comes to freeze-dried stuff. I love the fact. Now, we've talked in the past about putting back beans and rice and all your dry goods. But if you're a meat eater like us, you're going to wish you had some of that put back. So unless you have a Harvest-Right freeze dryer, which, by the way, we also are sponsored by them as well. Unless you have a Harvest-Right freeze dryer, then maybe you might want to consider reaching out and getting some of this freeze-dried food that they have. And that's over at Heaven's Harvest. Also, 10% off, a whopping 10% off with promo code PERMA. They also have seeds now. Had they called them survival seeds, I would have never reached out to them, ever. They have heirloom seeds, and that's perfectly fine. We're going to be planting some of those here before too long. I haven't yet endorsed the seeds because I haven't yet seen what they do. So we're going to do all that. And like I said, we don't tell you about things we haven't tried. Now, the food, on the other hand, we have tried that. Yeah. And I have got no complaints. As far as the number one best freeze-dried food you're going to have is obviously the stuff you make right in your house. It's already perfectly suited. We take entire meals, freeze-dry them, put them back, put them in the Mylar. And to me, that's number one. But if you got to buy it off the shelf, this is exactly where I'd go. Plus, it's a Christian outfit, and I want to support them. Don't forget, y'all, you can also tip a pimp over on the Fountain app. And you can also triple up those speeds. I got an email response in here from a guy that's been doing that very thing. And he's also saying it's like a double-edged sword, because now, if you're not careful, y'all, I want to be sure I point this out. If you take in too many news or business podcasts or anything like that, you got to titrate that also. Ask me how I know, because I do. You need to titrate that with also some either purely educational stuff, or what I use is also listening to the audio Bible. So you can titrate some of that bad stuff and maybe kind of counteract it with some of the good.
Yeah, careful also, because if you triple up the speed, like let's say you save certain podcasts for certain tasks. Like there's certain podcasts I listen to when I'm doing my outdoor workout or my indoor workout and stuff like that. And if you triple up that speed, well, you got like 35 minutes of just silence because your podcast is so good.
Yeah, yeah, there is that.
So sometimes you want it to last the full 45 minutes.
Well, you also got to be careful about what I do sometimes is like I'll take a James Corbett, the Corbett Report, another fantastic, guys and gals, I'm telling you, if you aren't checking out the Corbett Report, you need to. Anyway, I could take like his stuff if I'm doing something and I'll loop it on like his World War I conspiracy. Yeah. You know, so if it plays out too quick, then I'm already, while I got my hands in the middle of bone saws trying to make this stuff, I can't,
Is this a podcast that most people can access? Because, guys, Dad will recommend some podcasts to you that he only has access to through, the, like, the Apple Podcast. Like, Alex Jones podcast, I don't know how you get that through Apple Podcasts still, but you do.
Yeah, well, you if you weren't subscribed way before, you're not going to get it. So there's that. And then, plus, I pay for subscriptions to people like Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight, you know, your mom pays money to Doug Hagman for the Hagman Report. Even though you get that free, she gets the all-access thing. So we pay for that as well. So, folks, the news you get for free is exactly worth what you didn't pay for it. So
tip a pimp.
There you go. Well, you're going to get it either way. But if you like what we're doing, if you think it's awesome, then go ahead and tip a pimp. Man, I cracked up when that little boy Man, I wish you could have seen this, man. I got the video. His mom gave it to me. And he actually called into the show, so we'll get to that later. But, man, I'll tell you what, that video she gave me, that had me, I'll tell you what, I was busting up laughing the whole way home. This little boy had me cracking up. I wish I could remember his name, but, man, his parents were awesome, man, our kind of people.
He's going to say that at school and have some explaining to do.
Oh, man.
Tip a pimp.
Yeah, just like your cousin. Where I he was here, I said, hey, boy. I kept calling him, hey, boy. I know he went back to school and he was telling all the other kids, hey, boy. I mean, just little silly things I do with kids. Just, you know, funny stuff. But then you tend to forget, or at least I tend to forget that they're going to, you know, they're going to pollinate that stuff elsewhere. So, all right, y'all, tip of the day. And there's a couple of reasons that brought me into this. One of them has to do with one of the tasks we did today. Folks, as far as everybody's wondering what they can do for a business, how can they get a side hustle? How do you get into homesteading full time? Man, there's so many different ways to go about that. It's kind of a loaded question. But one of the ones I think you ought to seriously consider is think about the items you can purchase and then rent.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Jason, he does his chicken plucker, doesn't he?
Yeah, man, that sounds like a word. That sounds like a really bad word. You chicken plucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you can rent out a chicken plucker. Right now, we were talking about, I don't know what it is, y'all. Don't know what it is about Western North Carolina, but you cannot find a stock trailer to rent for no amount of money.
Yeah.
Nobody has one on Craigslist, not anywhere. So we've been kind of thinking about how to fill these gaps. You got Jason from So The Land also rents out his mobile cooler.
Does he? Oh, I didn't know he rented that out.
Well, I think if he wasn't, I know he was talking about doing it, so I'm pretty sure he is. So you could do something like that. Or like we were talking about today, we bought this thing from Dr. Stewart, the World Shepherd, which, by the way, if you haven't seen that video yet, folks, you want to check this guy out because as much time as we spend there, you're drinking from a fire hose. And he is dropping so much knowledge. And in fact, I hit up Ben and Megan at Farm Where You Live to see if maybe they want to have him speak at one of the next festivals. In fact, I'm reasonably sure he hasn't been invited back to the festival that we go to because he makes no bones about the fact that he is a blood-bought soldier of Christ.
Right.
And, in certain festivals out there, you just tell anybody you're a Christian, and that's the quickest way to not get invited back. So here he is. You got this extraordinary man, probably knows more about hair sheep than anybody else on the planet, and nobody is bringing him out to these festivals.
Right.
So there's going to be one, the Farm Where You Live, we'll get to that in a minute, but there's one coming up in April 15th, but there's also going to be another one in, I believe, Augusta, Georgia, and maybe the Good Shepherd will be down there at that one, y'all. If you ever get the opportunity to learn from him. He is the consummate autodidact. I mean, your mind is blown every time. I'm sitting here jaw agape because I don't even know what to ask.
Well, he answers it.
My mind.
He answers it for you before you even like ask. Like he just gives you so much information. It's like he knows that you're here for the information, and he's going to give you everything he can, and then when he's done, he gives you a hug sends you on the way.
Yeah, he's like, all right, I got to go buy something. Boys get on down the road. But honestly, he is wide open. So for anybody else that's doing festivals out here, believe me, this is a diamond in the rough. The guy's been doing it forever and a day, done it all over the world, And he's extraordinary. And not just in terms of like animal husbandry. This dude is so awake.
Oh, yeah.
On so many things. I mean, the things that like Ben Holler and I talk about are, you know, some or things that I've conversations I've had with Danny off, you know, the beaten path, things that we could talk about in private that can never see the light of day in a platform like this. This guy does not care. I mean,
yeah.
He will drop manhole covers on your head full of information, and he's just really something else. I mean, he's just one of those guys you just just can't get enough of.
Check out part one for his like sheep setup, like his a whole system that he has under that barn. And then part two is going to come out here soon where he starts talking about, I mean, everything involving sheep. It's a lot of information packed into one video. So that's why we broke it up into two videos.
And we got
videos.
About that much of it. And yeah. For those that are watching, I've got my fingers barely together. You know, that's how much you got. Well, we got a little further ahead. What I was really trying to get to on the tip, and I got a little further away, is that Dr. Stewart also had this little sheep carrier that you could stick in the back of your truck. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this is either A, when you got to buy something like that, ask yourself, is it a one-time use? Or could you rent that out to somebody? So we could put that thing on a trailer, and there's like no animal carriers around here. People could haul dogs on it if they wanted. They could haul, I mean, any number of things. I mean, this thing's ideally made for sheep, but you could stick it in the back of a truck. You could put it on the trailer. You could do any number of things with it. So instead of just buying this thing once and just having it sit on the shelf, maybe you got tools out there, like let's say a hammer drill. Now, I know you got to be a little careful with certain things, but let's say it's certain, you know, specific items. Maybe you want to put them on Craigslist for rent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely possible. I mean, trailers, farm equipment. I mean, think of stuff that people, like it's hard to justify some of those purchases when you only use it once. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can kind of easily justify it by renting it out.
Well, almost certainly, like I was saying before, to get Coco back here from Deep South Homestead, we had to go all the way to Charlotte.
Yeah.
To find anybody that was renting a trailer. Okay, so what does that say to you, y'all? Everybody that's hitting me up saying, hey, I'm looking to get into the farm business. Find the holes. Find the opportunities. Figure out how you can fill those things. There are so many. And frankly, we have given away, I mean, literally just given away lucrative ideas to other farmers out there.
Yeah.
You gave away one, I know for sure, that we could have easily done ourselves. And I gave away one. And we won't say to whom. I mean, honestly, you're not doing anybody a solid if you just tell the whole world that you gave them the idea. You did it out of the kindness of your heart. But there's other people that are running away with ideas that would almost certainly have made us a lot of money. But there are so many opportunities in this space. And one of them might very well be, let's say you know how to trim the hooves on sheep.
Yeah, you might be able to sell that service.
Yeah,
to
you'd
people.
Be a little sheep farrier out
yeah.
there. You know, I mean, is there a service you can provide? I'm a journeyman electrician. People are beating down the door begging me to do work for them, and I just can't do it. I mean, I'm just up to my eyeballs in what I'm doing. Didn't mean to spend so much time on that, but there are tons of opportunities right here in the homestead space.
Farm news?
Yes. So we picked up the ram. We didn't tell you that. We saw, we told you we went to the homestead, to the
World Shepherd,
and he's down in Georgia. So we drove down there this morning. We literally got back about an hour and a half ago and got a ram. So, and he is a highly parasite-resistant ram. And what did he say? Among the 5%?
Yeah, top 5% is something like that, which is insane. Of all the sheep in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got him, and he wasn't cheap. But we're in the sheep business, so... Yeah, so we'll definitely have, you know, things that we want to either sell in the future, whatever the case may be. There are, and we're going to talk more about that a little bit later, but yeah, went down there, got him. So that was an all-day thing. Man, all the wrecks coming back. I don't know what's going on. I have suspicions. Everywhere you turn around is a doggone wreck. What should have been just over a three-hour drive wound up being almost on the way back. Ended up being like five. So wrecks everywhere. So...
which I mean is the same every time I drive out to like the Knoxville area. Every single time I drive out that way, there's a semi laid over.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons as to why people are thinking that that sort of thing is happening. Apparently, a lot of people are getting messed up behind the wheel. All right, so other farm news, replacing trees. Weren't many to replace. I mean, what did we say? There was about a 95% success rate so far.
Yeah, something like that.
And we're planting in some pretty rough spots on one side of the driveway. Actually, both sides.
Well, yeah.
Not anything to write home about.
If you don't believe us, go look at the videos. Yeah. When we first moved here, yeah. This place is unrecognizable.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It really is. And so we've only had to replace just a handful of trees. Strangely enough, I kid you not, the only trees that we've really had to replace were the nitrogen fixtures.
Yeah, the and pioneer species.
You know the crazy reason why, I think, is we put bone saws. I think, I don't know this for sure, but I think the bone saws inhibits the voles. I think it gets down in there and they're telling the voles don't mess with this thing. Plus, I don't know if it's that or whether or not it's because we don't have as many daffodils around. Because those daffodils are going to want to repel. Voles are going to find those repulsive, and they're going to have less likelihood of messing with your tree when you put daffodils around there. So not only is it repulsive to the deer, but also the voles. So I don't know whether it's the lack of daffodils or the lack of bone saws. I'm leaning towards the bone saws because we had a couple of nitrogen fixtures that the voles went to town on, and I believe there were daffodils there, but they haven't messed so far with... I mean, knock on wood, I mean, they haven't messed with anything that had bone sauce on it. So I don't know if there's correlation there, but I suspect there might be. All right, also waiting on blueprints from Earthship. We had a set of blueprints for, what was it, the global model. So we moved over to the refuge model, and there's a bunch of reasons for that.
Are we sending the global model back in?
Negative.
Cool.
No, we're going to keep those prints. So we got, I mean, they may come in handy for another project in the future. You never know.
Yeah.
So we moved over to the refuge model, and that's what we're waiting on. So we paid for the blueprints. When they get here, hopefully we can kick some dirt around and then start seeing what we got to do to kick that off. But we had to jump a few hoops. Number one was, I mean, there's still so many to jump. We still got to get these pigs processed up on the mountain.
Yep.
We get those guys in the freezer. We got a few other hurdles to jump. And then the sheep are going to transition from the net system into the polywire system.
Yep.
And so we're going to be all over that here before long, but man, that ram is a monster.
Yeah, he almost looks at you like you might be a problem.
Yeah, like what do you want from me?
Yeah. Like move slowly.
Yeah, but the good thing is that he is enormous.
Yep.
Wow, he's enormous. I mean, man, for a Katahdin, all of his rams down there, man, they look like lions, man,
yeah,
for a second there.
Yeah, they do.
So anyway, we got a really good ram. Get him adjusted out there. The traffic screwed us up so bad that we couldn't even turn him out on the pasture, so he's still stuck on the back of the truck in that little carrier. So it's just going to have to be that way tonight. I'm not about to have him spend all that money for a ram and then have him get killed getting tied up in a net all night long.
Right.
So
yeah.
He'll make his way out there tomorrow. He'll learn his way around, and he is going to be surrounded by a bunch of females. So how about that?
Other farm news, I'm on day 56 of the 75 hard. Well, so I've got less than, son. I've got 19 days left. So,
really?
Yep.
So what are you going to do when you're done?
I don't know. That's kind of the weird part. I really don't know. I almost feel like I have to do it again.
Well, that's part of the Live Hard program, right?
Well, yeah. You wait 30 days and then do it again. But like this first time, I think you're just training yourself, and I could be wrong, but I think you're just training yourself to fight that little voice in your head. And then the second time, it's like, okay, you've defeated that voice. Now it's time to see like how efficient, I'm just assuming, but I think it's like see how efficient you can be in your day.
Well, son, I'll be honest with you. I've been your dad your whole life. And honestly, I had never seen a better version of you right now. I mean, I'm your mom would fully agree. I don't know that everybody would appreciate it, but I know your mom and I have seen enormous. I mean, if you ever want to talk about what we've seen in you, even on the podcast, we could talk about it.
Well, let me get done first.
Yeah, but what we have seen so far is really astonishing in terms of your development in so many different ways. So what I've seen in him is really, I'm trying to get some things together so I can get hot on it myself. All right, we better jump into the
I got an experiment I'm going to announce. So I have this finger right here, and if you're on YouTube, which it'll be linked down in the description notes, our YouTube channel for the Pimpcast, I keep jamming my right hand middle finger over and over and over again, and it keeps it's just constantly swollen. So what I'm going to do tonight is soak some gauze in comfrey salve, wrap my finger in it, and see how it looks in the morning.
All right, y'all. One last bit of news, and you want to check this one out because April 15th, Farm Where You Live. Yes, it's going to be in Asheville. So one cool thing about that is this is a place people really want to go for vacation.
Yeah.
Joel Salatin's going to be there. We're going to be there. William's going to be teaching. I'm going to be teaching. And folks, you definitely want to be there. And the price is definitely right on these tickets. So get yours with promo code PERMA. You'll knock off 10%. And the tickets are not very expensive. You're going to want to make this one, y'all. Like I said, the pimp daddy of Polyface himself, Joel Salatin's going to be there. And I'm looking forward to seeing Joel and all of you out there. So folks, this is going to be the second to the last function we're probably going to be doing this year.
Right. And then also, if you go to the website, there's ticket prices to attend the whole event, and then there's prices for individual classes that are there. So just keep that in mind. So if you go there and it's like a $10 ticket price to get into the event, and then each class is like, I think, $20 or something like that.
It's quite inexpensive. I mean, before we get into Pastor Lon, y'all, I want you to consider the fact that I have never seen festivals that are put together like this with so much value for so little price. I mean, you are getting light years more. There's nobody else out there. I mean, it's a shame they even have a discount. I'll be honest with you, man, because honestly, I have paid Joel just to have his ear and get his advice. All right, with that said, y'all, we're going to drift on in to the homesteading pastor, my pastor, Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got a verse of scripture I want to share with you and a few questions. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here's the questions. Do you know who you are? Do you know whom you belong to? Do you have such a relationship with Jesus Christ that there's a joy and a peace in your life? And a knowledge that if you died at this very moment, you would go to heaven. If you can't answer yes to these questions, my prayer is that God Almighty would convict you of your sin, draw you unto Him by His Spirit, and you would sincerely repent and accept Him as Lord and Savior and become born again, that you could spend eternity in heaven with Him. Because as the scripture said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen to all that. Pastor Lon, the homesteading pastor. Go check him out on YouTube, y'all. Go subscribe. And by the way, if anybody's listening right now, if you haven't done it already, it's a great help to us if you would go over there, give us a 5-star rating or give us a 1-star rating and maybe leave a comment.
On the review?
I mean, on the reviews and everything. I don't even know where you go to do that sort of thing, but supposedly it helps us, but I think the powers that shouldn't be definitely don't want us to get out there. So let's go ahead and reach out and do that if you don't mind doing it, y'all.
And check us out on YouTube.
Bam. So we also have a YouTube channel for the podcast, and it's the Permaculture Pimpcast. All right. Bad news first. Bad news, good news section for those that are new. Bad news. Check this out. Former Pfizer executive. Former Pfizer executive, BlackRock board member pushing for mass chicken vaccination to cure avian flu. And there's been some researchers out there saying, well, the real reason they're wanting to do this is so they can go ahead and jab up all these new chickens with this mRNA.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're putting it in the food. I even heard from another podcast that there have been, claims of them putting this in wild deer, capturing these deer. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, y'all. All the more reason why we need to be growing our food and honestly bring these people to justice that are responsible for this, because they have zero regard for any of you or me or whatever else.
How many chicken avian flu pandemics have we been through, and not once have our chickens ever gotten sick?
Not once.
And the crows visit them all the time.
Every single day.
Yep.
I mean, they're out there all four seasons. How about that?
Maybe it's not the avian flu. Maybe it's the CAFO operation.
Well, you know, maybe that's part of it, or maybe it's just all contrived, or maybe you can do what Mike Adams was talking about earlier, which is, actually, that's part of the good news, is using chlorine dioxide on a lot of this stuff.
And we just got flagged.
Yeah, you even bring that up.
Dang, Dad.
Yeah.
We couldn't have made it to episode 100.
Yeah, well, hey. Yeah, there's heavy interest out there that do not want that out there for you to. There's a reason why it's called the universal antidote or the universal cure. So go look into it for yourself. There's a 2-bottle system, and we have plenty of it. And there's a reason why we do. All right, so that's bad news. Good news is, it looks like finally, the news about January 6th is now coming to light.
Yeah.
What burns me up is that that polecat, the Speaker of the House, McCarthy, gives this to Tucker Carlson.
If anybody was wondering what a simp was, there you go.
No. Okay, what gets me, this is the American public. I mean, I understand. Tucker Carlson, I don't trust the guy as far as I can throw him. If they're on network news, I don't trust him at all. Okay, so let's say he's got a pretty good track record. At the end of the day, there is a whole lot of footage out there, and it's all in the hands of just one person. Does that make sense to anybody out there? Why not just put it out there and let the American public see it themselves? I mean, I don't have anything necessary. Well, I got some issues with Carlson, and just about everybody over at Fox News and MSNBC and Dia, you know, you name them. I don't like them. I know they're all Operation Mockingbird prostitutes, but there is no justice in this world unless I can ever put my hands on Hannity for real. I never did like that dude, and I still don't like him. I mean, he's out there telling people to go get shot up with this stuff. But back to that chlorine dioxide, it found that it destroys dioxins in paper and pulp mass. So for those people that are mixed up with what's going on up there in Ohio or maybe some of the other areas,
yeah,
it sounds like chlorine dioxide might also be an answer for a lot of that stuff.
Chlorine dioxide might be an answer to the dioxins.
Yeah. 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 I better spell that out a little bit better. Yes. Chlorine dioxide. If you go to the universalantidote.com, I can't remember exactly where we got it. Mike Adams even did a thing where he's doing the experiment on how to use this stuff. It's really not that difficult. And there are many people still in jail just because they talked about the virtues of using chlorine dioxide.
Yep.
So that's what William was really getting to earlier. So you can get, I'm not going to tell you what you do with it. I would highly recommend you go check out Mike Adams, or it may be under Prepare with Mike, whatever the case may be.
Or Miracle Mineral Solution. You might be able, I found it on accident one time finding that. If you go to Miracle Mineral Solution.
Well, I'm not 100% sure that's what it is. That's what I think. Okay. It might be the same thing, but it sounds like the two might have a little bit. They might very well be the same thing. Bottom line is that they're finding out there is a reason the powers that shouldn't be don't want you to know about the virtues of chlorine dioxide, okay? Not that hard to, I mean, I guess I better leave it right there because I'm not sure. We live in such a litigious society. I'm afraid hopefully somebody didn't get the 2 bottles and then just squirt it all in their mouth and then have a nice day, you know?
Yeah, don't do that, yo.
Yeah, that's exactly what you don't want to do. So, I mean, between, as far as good news, the January 6th thing, at least it's coming out, but what's cold-blooded about that whole thing on January 6th is that these people have been locked up without trial. Some of them admitted or basically pled guilty are now in prison, some of them for years. And we now know that every single bit that was told to you by the media was a manufactured lie. So when we get back, we're going to get into it.
All they want to build is a prison world full of pet time.
All right. We're going to get right into it, y'all. Topic, and we've kind of hit on this before, but I want to hit onto it again. And it was inspired again by Andy Frisella, just based on something he said in passing. And there was a, incident the other day, and I can't go into any details about it because I don't want to betray anybody's trust. But I got to ask, once again, are your friends, your acquaintances, your family, your spouse, or somebody you're thinking about being your spouse, are they holding you back? Here's what I'm getting at. Like I just said a moment ago, I'm seeing the best version of my son that I've ever seen before. Are you one of those people trying to improve your life, but you're surrounded by a bunch of friends that are saying, oh, hey, let's go out and party, or hey, let's go watch the ball game, let's go do this, let's go do that. And you're always being the party pooper as of late because you've seen that, hey, you know, this lifestyle of just, quote, living for the weekends, what does it really get you? Because it's not what you do at work, it's what you do in your spare time. You're listening to two people that made that decision, actually, you know, Michelle as well, a long time ago, instead of, let's say, doing what everybody else calls fun. Maybe finding out and asking myself, what is more fun to me? Waking up every day doing what I want to do for a living, or waking up doing what somebody else wants me to do for a living? And then, like George Carlin says, you do enough to keep from getting fired, and they pay you enough to keep you from quitting. But you always have this this minority, or it could be a majority, depending on how your life is, where you feel like you're feeling like, man, there's so much more to life. Do I really want to just scrape my way through the rest of my life? Or can I go into something that I love for the sake of loving it and not being so worried about the money because you got all this debt and all this other stuff? And there was a series of events. Andy Frisella was talking about it, and William kind of hit on it a little bit ago with you got those inner voices. Andy calls it something else, which I won't say here, but you got your boss voice, and then you got this other voice is telling you, oh, just go forget about it. You can do it tomorrow. Well, historically, son, doing it tomorrow has been a historic problem of yours.
Right, yeah. It really has.
It was one of my biggest frustrations was, let's just do it tomorrow. It's been a his whole life kind of problem. But that all kind of went away when you started this 75 hard. I haven't seen you.
Because I'm not about to restart.
It changes. I'm not talking about that. Yeah. I'm saying regarding work that we do around here, I can't stand putting off something that I know needs to get done now. And you've had this habit in the past of not maybe doing things to the full extent. I haven't seen that problem as of late either. So here you are, the best version of yourself. But if you're hanging around with the same people that maybe you work with or whatever the case may be, all these people that, quote, live for the weekends, all you got to do is put foot to butt in all those times you were going to be partying with your friends or hanging out, you know, watching a ball game together. Not saying you can't do those things, but if they take any priority in your life, you're never going to spend the rest of your life doing what it is you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get to a point where you really can't have friends that aren't like that.
Yes. Yes.
Where you can't stand being around people for an extended period of time that waste time.
Oh my goodness, man. That's one of my biggest pet peeves right there.
Yeah.
Is like the person that says, hey, can you help me move? No. Let me back it up a little bit. It'll be that person that says, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Now they're not asking because they legitimately care about what you're going to do. They're trying to box you in so when they ask you to do them a favor, you can't say, well, you know, I got this other thing. That's why they do it. That's why if anybody ever asks me, what are you doing this weekend? And I tell them, and then they ask me to do that, I 100% guarantee you the answer is a profound no. I can't stand being manipulated.
Here's an easy out. Do the 75 hard. So when they ask you what you're doing this weekend, you can say, well, at minimum, I'm doing an outdoor workout for 45 minutes, an indoor workout for 45 minutes. I have to drink a gallon of water. I have to stick to this diet, and then I also have to read. And that's just to get through the day. That's the base. And then you have a list of five things you have to accomplish every day.
You got business things you got to do.
Yeah.
But if you want to sit here and toil away day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year for a pittance, or maybe they do pay you well. I was out there working on the Earth ship with a number of people who had who left high paying jobs, one of them in the financial realm, just to fulfill his dream of literally taking his dog, his camper, and his vehicle and just traveling. And then I was like, well, what do you do for money? He says, you know, whenever I need some, it's like something pops up. There, somebody needs an odd job. Or, and then sure enough, while he was there, the guy who owned the Earthship asked if, you know, well, he hit me up first, asked if I wanted to stay on. And I'm like, absolutely not. He hit him up as well. And here it was, you know, he needed more money. And then just like that, a blessing opened up right there in front of him.
That's awesome.
And he needed the money at the time that it was being offered to him. But he would never. So I was like, okay, so you were being paid very, very well in the financial realm. What made you do this? What was your impetus to wanting to do this? He's like, man, I went on a vacation to one of the Caribbean islands and I was due for a promotion and I was going to kick my pay up even more, had all the things you want, you know, what people want. He said, and it just finally, you know, it dawned on me, man, really, what am I doing, man? I am sitting here being a slave, being a corporate sharecropper, and for what? And so, you know, I mean, it's his decision, but that's what he decided to do. But then what he, like you also said, that's very important, is that he also had to separate himself, even though all the friends he had in his life, that's what prompted me down this road, all the friends that he had in his life, he had to basically say sayonara, because these were all the people that were going to the hoity-toity dinners with the pinkies up in the air. They would go to these financial events. They would go to these junkets. They would do all these things. And so now that he was no longer part of that, he was no longer in with that crowd, which in his world was an extreme benefit, because now the people he wanted to be around were people that were, that not, I'm not saying they didn't work for a living, but people that had something to show at the end of a day.
Right.
Instead of looking at a balance sheet and making decisions in a desk in an office somewhere, that to him is what really mattered.
But I understand that. That is that will drive you crazy. When I was a sleep technician, we worked at night. I mean, obviously you work nights when you're a sleep technician. And you'd work all night on trying to fix a patient, especially if they had like sleep apnea and they needed a CPAP or BiPAP machine. You would work all night. And then in the morning, the patient would complain, saying, like, you know for a fact that was the best night of sleep that person has ever had, because they actually made it to REM, they stayed in REM, and they didn't have any sleep obstructions. And then they complained the next morning, like, oh, man, I didn't get any sleep. I'm like, I saw your brain waves. I know you were asleep. Like, I know for sure you were asleep, but it's like putting in all that work just to show up with nothing at the end of the day. If I put in the 12 hours of work like I would a sleep lab shift is usually 12 hours. If I were to put 12 hours of work here at the property, I mean, in 45 minutes, I tore down the bull barn. And that's something you can step back and look at.
Let's not also forget that when you were working as a sleep tech, you were still a farmer. You were still farming on your days off. So that's my point. So if you want to make your way into this full, and it doesn't have to be farming. I don't care what you want to be.
Frustrated farming.
Yeah. Well, at that time, yeah. Whole nother story altogether there. But the point being is that we were making that transition from going from doing a 9-to-5 regular job, all of us. First one we got out of the matrix was your mom.
Yep.
Then it was you. I was the last one. I picked up the rear, so to speak. That's how we had to do it. So we got one of us out. Okay, she's working full time. Then we got two of us there. Then it made it a lot easier. And then when I was the last one to get out. That's how we had to do it. But also in the process of it, like William said, and this is profound. Like even the Bible says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I say that all the time because, honestly, I know a lot of guys that were in the trade that are wonderful people, but there's a whole lot of nincompoops out there too.
Yeah.
And all they're going to live for are the weekends. And if that's what if you're going to sit here and slave away doing a job just so you can live for the weekend, you know, I was in the middle of a conversation with somebody the other day, and I was like, yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. And I know who it was. It was Seth Holhouse.
Yeah.
I think I was talking to Seth, and I said, I made reference to the wrong day. And then, I don't know, he was like, you mean whatever day. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Every day is kind of like Friday.
Here. Yeah.
You know, when you do this sort of work. Now, I work harder than I ever have in my life.
You remember the season. You don't remember the day, though.
Oh, yeah, you got that right. I can tell you that. But I work harder than I ever have. I have never, in the trade that I came from, y'all, I mean, they had all these, and I won't tell you them all, but it was basically hide and seek for a couple of grand a week. Or they make a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time. Things like that. If that's your attitude, or there are people that take pride in how little work they did that day, then maybe are you really fulfilled?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Are you really fulfilled? And then when I work for the government, good night, man. They were telling me before I resigned, they said, oh, yeah, right. Nobody ever quits this job. I'm like, yeah, you're about to see it. There were guys pushing 80 that were still doing that job because it's just so insane and easy. But the point of it being is that if you have these coworkers and they're comfortable being in the matrix, well, you can't count on them. Maybe you have a spouse. Maybe you have a person you're considering to be a spouse. Maybe they have very different goals and directions in their lives than what you have. Well, I just spent a day with a few guys that are dealing with the consequences of that very thing. Or let's say you made this transition, and I've seen this a lot, where one person thinks, okay, I feel like I'm going country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other spouse doesn't. And you got into this thing, and you were on the same... Hey, there's such a thing as a permaculture divorce.
Yeah, Emily knew way before we got married that this was going to be our future. And also, I mean, if you are dating someone with the intent of marrying them and this is going to be your future, your life, they should know that. You shouldn't just surprise them like, oh, you're trapped now. Here we go.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't surprise them with that.
And you can't, and honestly, with this lifestyle, we didn't even take a break through the winter. I mean, no. It's still technically winter, but...
It takes 30 minutes to get to the grocery store.
Yeah, but we don't... The point that I'm making is that a lot of people that do this work kind of take off for the winter. We don't do that. We haven't done that. And frankly, I'm feeling it right now because, I mean, I'm genuinely exhausted in so many different ways. I love doing this podcast. I love putting out good information, but there is just from dawn till dusk, we're going at 100 miles an hour. But I wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China.
And I wouldn't let that put you off either. I think part of the reason you're genuinely exhausted is because it's not just farming. It's farming plus the events, plus the podcast, plus the YouTube channel. So if you're just farming, it should be a lot.
Number of businesses as well, too.
Yeah.
And we don't always talk about all of it, but all of this requires. But at the end of the day, my worst day here is better than my best day ever on a job. And I'm including the time when they would give me fat bonuses. Those were not, but you're never going to get it and you're never going to attain it if you don't surround yourself with people that understand and appreciate and push you along. If you're the smartest person in the room, like John always said, John at SOE, if you're the smartest person in the room, then you need a bigger room. You need to be in another room.
Yeah. There's that saying, like, show me your friends and I can show you what your future is like.
Yes, indeed. And so you're going to also have those friends that you got to jettison.
Yeah.
They're no longer relevant in your life. Not saying these are bad people. It's just, look, if we're not going in the same direction, Jack, you're going to have to go your own. And I'm not saying you got to be a farmer, but the most insulting thing anybody could ever say to me is, and I quote, you haven't changed a bit.
Yep.
Because I know they're lying. If you tell, I'm not even the same person I was a year ago, much less the 10 years ago when I last saw you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to tell me I didn't change a bit. I know that I've changed immeasurably. I can't even, like I said, I don't even recognize the me from a year ago. So those people that have the audacity to say that thing to you, especially when you know you've changed for the better, then really, are those the kind of people you want to be spending a whole lot of time with?
Not at all. It's almost detrimental to your success being away from those people, because what you're going to do is already hard, and it's even harder when you have that little voice in your head external in the form of other people.
Yeah, and they're constantly telling you, oh, man, don't worry about that. If I had a nickel, if I had a nickel for every single time I've been told that, well, those same people are working at 9 to 5, and I'm working twice as hard as them, but I'm twice as fulfilled.
And how many of those people are just saying that out of jealousy or out of like a position so where they don't have to make themselves better? Because if you make yourself better and you're in their company, they're going to try to stop you because it's going to require work on their end to even be your friend.
Well, it was like when you were first starting 75 Hard, I didn't understand the full extent of what you were going through at first. And there was this emotional crisis that I think to a certain extent all of us were having. All of us, your mom and I meant, I mean, we wanted to see you challenge yourself and do this thing in the most massive way. But at the same time, we were not completely aware of what you needed from us. So instead of saying, well, why don't you do it later? It wound up being a better thing. It wound up being a better thing than saying, okay, what can I do to help facilitate? I'll do this. Go ahead and do your workout.
Yeah, like you did the other day when we were about to leave to bend the Ridge Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did that the other day. And those kinds of things are helpful. Not, you need to rest, right, or, hey, you need to take a break. Like, I'm already telling myself that.
Well, you're 15 minutes into a workout. You're 15 minutes into a workout, and I know that if you stop, you got to start all over again. So, you know, I'm like, okay, how can I help facilitate that? Well, a friend would do the very opposite, especially after they know what you were trying to do. If they are not doing everything humanly possible, and then sometimes it'll be the happy sabotage,
yep,
where they got the smile on and they wish you all the best, meanwhile behind your back. So, honestly, y'all, why on earth would I do it? It's not a second show like that. I got to say, the reason why I was insistent on doing this show right now is because, like I said, there was a series of events that happened yesterday, being in the company of other people where, I'll be honest with you, they thought they were ending up with Homestead Honeys. Well, they ended up with Homestead Hoes.
Yep.
Three guys, and it's a mess. It really is a mess. And they wound up with, I mean, if you knew the full extent of this stuff, you'd be like, what? These people really exist? Well, they listen to Oprah, you know, where they tell them, girl, you just got to be happy. But Oprah never said, girl, you just got to be responsible. So you got record numbers of women right now. It's becoming vogue, running off, leaving their kids. And, I mean, things that were unthinkable once upon a time. I'm not saying that the guys are all wonderful either. But I was just in the company of people that did a horrendously awful job of picking a person for this kind of lifestyle. And now here they are, pretty bad circumstances, all of them, because they chose a defective person. Now, I know there's a lot of women out there that have chosen, obviously, defective men.
Right.
But look, if you don't have somebody that's going to be your cheerleader and you can be theirs, especially on this journey, because honestly, it's hard work, but it's going to be 10 times harder if you're carrying a ball and chain around your waist. Up about Elon, buying Twitter like he gon' save us, huh? Left and right squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no, I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though, get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster before I hit the beach. BLM on my koozie, some. All right, right back from the break, y'all. It looks like we got some. Hey, Sam, what's that call-in number if you want to use it, folks?
Yeah, we got some voicemail call-in or call-in voicemails. 828-380-4419. That's 828-380-4419.
Fired away.
All right, here's the first one.
Hey, Billy, William. This is Don from Central Ohio. And I have a question about compost piles. So let me tell you what I've got set up. I've got two compost piles going on right now. Their ingredients are chicken manure, grass clippings, and some leaves, with a little bit of hay mixed in there too. So far, they're not heating up. The chicken manure is a little bit older, still damp, but it was also mixed in with some wood chips. So you give the advice to do like the professionals or who's been successful. So I've been out there punk kicking them, you know, on the bottom, like a Biden pinata at an NRA conference. And my homestead honey came out and asked me, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, this is the way Billy and William does it." And then also, I pretended like I had Milk Boy with me. I said, "Milk Boy, stop humping the neighbor's shih tzu and get over here and tend to the sheep." And then finally, I've got some more cow manure that's more fresh. So should I add some cow manure to those piles to get them heated up? And maybe I just need to wait for the temperature to come up. So that's my question. Thank you all for all that you do. And we appreciate all the things that you're putting out there on podcasts and YouTube and everything else. So thanks very much. Bye.
Thank you, Don. It sounds like your pile isn't big enough because you have all the ingredients to get that thing heated up and going.
Well, he could also be a little lacking on nitrogen because he said all he has was chicken manure. And I'm wondering just how much he's got. So it's hard to know without seeing the ratios.
With the grass clippings, if it's damp and there's grass clippings and leaves and hay mixed in there, I would say there are wood chips in there, but that should still, it should still get heated up enough. I would say the size isn't big enough.
That'd be the first culprit.
It needs to be at least 1 cubic yard, which is the most common problem. The most common problem with this 18-day compost and 30-day compost and stuff is that people's piles aren't big enough. They need to be at least 1 cubic yard. But, yeah, I would add the cow manure to it, see how that goes, and then I would also try to add more either hay or grass clippings or something like that, or straw, nothing, not any wood chips because the carbon to nitrogen ratio is too high. But I would add the cow manure and try to get your pile up to 1 cubic yard at least. It's no bigger than 3 cubic yards.
It's hard to say for sure without actually seeing it, though.
Right. The next voicemail is from your little pal, Dad.
This podcast is brought to you by Hickory Wood Soap and JewelQuotes.com. Tip of pimp.
As good as that is, he did it. The video had me in stitches, man. I keep watching that thing, and it just, he's such a cute little boy.
Yeah.
And his mom and dad are great, too, man. They have a beautiful family, man.
Here's the next one.
Hey, Billy and William. I just wanted to say that I enjoy your podcast and or Pimpcast, pardon me. And I just thought of a topic for an upcoming episode, and if we wanted to hire someone like a permaculture design consultant, what would we expect from the consultant, and what should the consultant expect from us, and what should we have available to try to make the most of that consultation? I thought that would be a good idea for an episode. And your last episode about the Homestead Fight Club had me, like, peeing in my pants from laughing. Different kind of pimp there. Worried you're going to put Pastor Lon up against Danny from Deep South Homestead or Jason from So the Land against Ben Haller. Anyways. Thank you. Take care. God bless.
We got to find some weights. We got to get him in the same weight class.
Dude, Pastor Lon, man, I don't know. Pastor Lon could do like the benediction. I mean, hold on, bro. Man, this is getting way out of control.
Well, hold on. Let's answer her question first. As far as the consultations, like what you should expect from your consultant is going to vary from each consultant. Like some consultants do, they draw up designs, they draw up maps and stuff like that. Other consultants don't. Like for me, example, I do order of operations now. I don't do a map list or anything like that because that is, it's a whole lot of work and effort into something that isn't really paid attention to that often. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the order of operations is really the whole thing that you're wanting, where it's like, here's what I do in the order that I do it and where I do it. As far as like what you should have to make the most out of the consultation, I would have like a list of things, like beforehand, you should have a list of things that you want to do with the property. Even if they're crazy or insane, you should give that to your consultant and your designer and see if they're even possible. Because some of those crazy and like insane ideas that you might have might not be that crazy to the designer and knows how to fit it in.
Yeah. And if you need a consultation, remember, hit up Eric Sider, S-E-I-D-E-R.
It's listed down below.
Okay, yeah, cool. We'll have a link for him for anybody that's wanting a consultation. We're up to our eyeballs on so many of those things, or so many things right now. We can't fit in consultations, but maybe Eric, I know he's awful busy, and you know he's probably being swamped in so many different ways, but he is the best, so that's what we recommend. All right, right off the gate, we got one from, I don't know that there was a name here, First, okay? Hey, Billy, purchased some comfrey and had a quick question. Said not to plant Miracle-Gro, and then they're wondering, is it just Miracle-Gro? Look, from our experience, comfrey will work in, like, compost and even Miracle-Gro sometimes, but it works better in just your regular soil. And it's like the worse the soil, the better that stuff does.
Yeah. It's like it's filling a job it knows it needs.
Yeah.
I got one from also known as STWS, and it's regarding the Homestead Fight Club, sharp Chevys. Because your reference towards the Mexicans always have Chevys and
my
stuff.
Chevy.
So he's put in sharp Chevys.
Yep. Yeah.
Got one.
All right, so we got one from Mark. Hey, this is Mark with Carolina. I don't know if I should say all that. Basically spoke to a garden club down there in Charlotte and on sustainable urban landscapes, and he endorsed the bone saw. So thank you so much for that. Wow. Mark, I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
It's to the point now where I don't know that I can keep up with demand, because we got a farm to run and that stuff takes a lot of time to work, and it's tough to do. So
I got one from Dan Del Coyo, maybe. Regarding your reference to Lancaster, PA, I work in downtown Lancaster and grew up in the area, and I agree that it has gone really downhill. The city is full of a lot of liberals, and they really gentrifying it. It's kind of like putting lipstick on a pig, though, and has pushed some of the riffraff out of the surrounding areas. Everyone always says how great the city is, to which I respond that Lancaster is the only city I've been in where I have heard gunshots. You still have your good memories.
Well, that is good. I don't know if I was talking about Lancaster at the time. I was talking about Coatesville.
Is that near Lancaster?
Yeah, it's not. Everything's pretty close back there. I mean, Coatesville was... Lancaster, I mean, was still pretty the last time I was there, but Coatesville, good night, man. Where I grew up, I mean, it looked like, well, you were there, I mean, that time, and I mean, it was a total mess.
There?
Yeah, we passed through that time.
Oh, when we went up to
Valley Forge and all that good stuff.
Okay.
Wow. So, let's see.
I got another one if you needed it.
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm
I got one from Flyover Joe, Polyface Pimp Daddy. LOL, y'all had me in stitches talking about the Homestead Fight Club. Hey, if y'all really want this to happen, I'm not opposed to it. We can set up some matches. I don't even know how to do this officially. I don't know if it needs to be official. We can find some hay bales. We can get the gen... We can
Dude, if it means I rent... If honestly, I'd let somebody knock me out. I would stand there with my hands behind my back if it meant I raised money for Vets for Child Rescue.
But you can put your hands up.
It's going to have to be a certain amount of money. Yeah. But believe me, I wouldn't slouch it off if I had to. If I had to go in there, man, I would definitely do it, and I'll be gladly putting a 5-minute flurry of fist on some people if I raise money for a cause like that.
I'm excited. I want this to happen. This would
yeah,
be cool. This would be
yeah,
cool.
I'm still cracking up, man. I just had this daydream. I was telling. I mean, honestly, man, how hilarious would that be to have Joel just out there in his jeans and suspenders and leave his hat on, too? I mean, I wasn't kidding, dude. Just leave the hat on. Just take some chicken blood and stick it under his eyes, like smear it under like he's a football player.
He didn't even get his hat knocked off. It stays on the whole time.
Yeah, just leave his hat on right there, man. Just have him do like the Incredible Hulk pose and
he's
all that.
He's the Bruce Buffer.
Yeah. I bet we could probably do. Joel's a good sport, man. He'd probably do something like that. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, there's a lot of people that want to put a beating on me out there. I don't know. I'm just thinking something gratuitous like that and over the top would honestly sell a lot of tickets. So
here's, okay.
Know, in the future, I wouldn't mind doing something like that.
How about
that.
This? On the YouTube channel, comment, like down below, comment like who you would like to see matched up. And we'll work on it.
Oh, yeah.
Comment who you want to see matched up on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, well, you know what? The ladies are going to feel left out.
Oh, there's, I mean, women can
fight,
we'll
need a
too.
Girls bracket, too.
Yeah.
So if you want to see some women up here putting a whooping on one another.
I don't know. My female cousin used to beat my butt across that dairy farm.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Man. Yeah, yeah. You used to get worked over, boy. She'd put a beating on you.
Yeah, she would.
All from one side of that farm to the other. But
dragging me.
Yeah, so I'm... Yeah, we need a female division. And, oh, yeah. So for any of you trans testicles out there, this ain't the American prison system. We ain't going to have guys fighting girls and you identify as this and that.
Go ahead and try it.
Biologically, biological males, if we can pull off something like this.
Yep.
But really, if it's possible, I mean, if it meant raising money for a cause like that, and if it meant raising a lot of money for them, man, I am totally down. I would absolutely do it.
You don't have to convince me. I'm down. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's just a matter of convincing everybody else. Yeah, everybody, we were just kind of freestyling there, but it's funny. Apparently, a number of people got a kick out of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see if we can match Joel up. We'll see, like I said, Justin, I have... Yeah, I'm thinking
ahead.
About all these...
Go ahead.
No, I was sitting there thinking, man, if I could go out there, okay, we put on some MMA gloves... Honestly, we could do this thing like a pro wrestling thing. Me and you on one side.
Who's Justin get?
Justin, I don't know. I guess Jason or whatever, poor man. Jason. Sorry, I love Jason,
you
man.
You better bring some heat, Justin. We're already trashed.
I'm about to choke you down, nephew. I'm about to pop his eyeballs right out of his head, dude. Like, tap, tap. Joel's trying to break us loose, dude, and there goes his eyeballs laying out there by the, his eyeballs will be laying by the optic nerves sticking out of his head like a cartoon.
Somebody throws in a cattle prod, a metal chair, and a chicken plucker.
Yeah. Yeah, so this sounds like something that could be really a lot of fun, man. And raise a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, man, we got so long in the tooth, man. We're just not going to get to these comments today.
Hold
y'all.
On. I got one more. I got one more from Strider47, and it has to do with what we're talking about. In quotes, all proceeds go to Vets for Child Rescue or medical bills. Man, you guys had me laughing hard. Here's some sass to go toward one or the other. Hashtag tip a pimp. Hashtag for the children. Hashtag for medical bills. Hashtag catch Jack.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know. I mean, I'll reach out to some of these people. We're going to sit down to dinner with Joel here before too long. And I don't know. I know this seems like it's over the top, but, man, I feel so passionately about this. If there is a possibility, I would let somebody knock me out if I could just get one kid out of child sex trafficking, man, I would gladly give away everything I have if it meant just getting one kid out of that stuff.
I'll fight Bo Nickel, who's an actual UFC fighter, for this.
Dude, I'll fight King Kong, man. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, I really would if it meant I could raise a lot of money for this cause. And if it meant, and, you know, maybe this is something that ought to be put together. I know a lot of it was done in jest, but honestly, if it's for a good cause, I will do it. So maybe I'll just, I don't have any way of getting a hold of Justin Rhodes. I was given his contact information before, but anyway, I guess he doesn't answer his own emails. So if anybody wants to get a hold of him or knows him, go ahead and say Billy at Permapastures Farm is going to put a beating on it. No, just go ahead and tell him, hey, man, if he's interested in raising some good money for some fantastic cause, he probably get Joel to do it.
And if you say no, what, you don't care about the kids?
You see Joel out there with no shirt on, dude. He probably got, I mean, his chest is probably so hairy he can weave an Indian rug.
Put some fake Russian tattoos on. Yeah.
Have Joel look over there. Billy, are you ready? Justin, are you ready? Let's get it on. Come on. Y'all, that's going to do it for us. Sorry we didn't get to the comments, but hey, it's what it is, and we'll try to get to them later. Till next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive.